Tonight's shiur, Simen Lamed Beis, Se'if Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches. Se'if Chav Vav. Im oisiois shel shem devukois, yachol lahafridom. If the letters of Hashem's name are touching, it is permitted to scrape away and separate them. Mishnah Brura Sifkan Kuf Chav Vav Devukos. If the letters are touching, Bein milamala, bein milamata, makes no difference if they're touching at the tops or the bottoms. Vahani mili shenidbeku be'esekseva. What are we talking about? When they touched as they were being written. Avalim nidbeku la'achar gemar haksiva. But if they become somehow attached after they were written, asur lahafridim, it's forbidden to scratch anything off. V'ayin be'alocha, lukim be'alocha. Lukim be'alocha, the very bottom of the page. If you look at Mishnah Brura, we wrote, this is only if they got connected as they were being written. This is based on Rabbi Yehuda. When Shekosek Shem Batam explains, Beis Yosef brought two answers to the question about a whole. In the Ois, it's not Mukav Kavil. Why is it kosher? The Gemara says it has Mukav Kavil. So the first teretz is Mukav Kavil is only a halacha that the Ois shouldn't touch. The second teretz is Mukav Kavil is only a requirement when it's being written, not if it happens later on. So if you follow the second teretz of the Beis Yosef, there's no chisarn of Mukav Kavil after it's written. So the shame is a kosher shame. So you have no head to scrape anything because now it's mechikas Hashem. The Mishnah Brura continues in Be'erloch of an early posh dim mistap became as nasa hadib. But let's say you don't know. Was it touching when you wrote it? Or did it get touching afterwards? Yachal hafrido, you can't separate them. Vitam sfek sfeika. You have two doubts. Number one, the Shema nasa basic seed. Maybe it happened when you wrote it. And then it was never kosher to start with. Vintim silem, the nasa achacha, maybe it happened afterwards. Shema loch kateres regional base Yosef. Maybe we talk about like the first teres of Beis Yosef. That makes no difference if it's Peshasek Siva or later on. Le'el b'sif design. Dibnegi and chilik. If it's a touching, we don't differentiate when it happened. Va'filo machmirim b'sfek sveiko. Be'isu mechike ish l'hokal v'zei. Even those who are machmir sfek sveiko can be makel over here. V'men shakos of shaman ed v'huda d'mochik can mix us ois. V'idai nishat saras or love. En chay b'zei mishum mochik rak medorbonim. Because Nebuchadnezzar is a chiddush, and it's a chiddush mitzvah pashut, that if you do mechikas Hashem, but to still you see Hashem's name, that's not necessarily your right mechikas Hashem. That's only the rabbanon. So even if you want to be machmir sfek sveika, in this case, you're not dealing with that's by the right to be machmir sfek sveika. By the rabbanon, you're not to be machmir sfek sveika. Ayin sham. So to separate the letters would not be an issa d'oraisa mechikas Hashem. Even if you held it was kosher the way it was, it would not be an issa d'oraisa. Issa d'oraisa is when you take away the whole letter and then you don't see it anymore. But to separate the letters, you're only dealing with an issa d'rabbanan mechikas Hashem. So in such a case, you can make on sfek sfeka. Mishnah Brura sifkan kuf chof zayim lahafridon. So you're allowed to separate the letters of Hashem's name that are touching. This isn't mechika, this is tikkun. You're fixing it. It wasn't kosher without it. And certainly if the letters of Hashem's name are not touching each other, but rather touching a different letter from a different word, so then you could separate that no matter what. As long as you don't take the knife to scrape away the final dot that's attached to the shame. So if the hey at the end of Hashem's name is attached to the next letter of the next word, you can scrape away up until the hey. Not only shouldn't you touch the hay, don't even touch the last drop next to the hay, because then you're getting too close for comfort. So you just scrape until right before the shem. So he says, the brackets points out that the berhetiv brings shas techak, it's not nogeh, look inside. Se'if Chof Zayin, Oisiois Vetevois Shenimchaku Kitsas. Letters and words that are partially erased. Imri Shumon Nikr, if their impression remains and noticeable, Kokach, so much so, Chetinikul Chakimlo Tibeshach Lekros, and their child who's not too smart, not too stupid, can read it properly. Mutr Lahavir Kumus Aleim Lehetiv Aksav Lechad Shoy. So we say that it's kosher now, and therefore it's permitted to take a quill and rewrite over it to freshen it and make it new. There's no problem with Shlok Hasidim because it's still there. The letter or word is partially erased. Perish meaning. Some of the ink of the letters have begun to fade or flake off. Now, if when they began to write, when the sefer begins to write, the ink was not dark. Maybe it was like a darkened white. So I'm not sure if he means to say like a grayish color. Or maybe it had a reddish look. And then you're going to have to write over it with black. So then you have a problem with shlo kesidrin if you wrote beyond that. In other words, if you wrote and it wasn't a good dio, and then you continue to write after that with a good dio, to go back and rewrite the shlo kesidrin. Because what you wrote before you didn't write. And now you're writing out of order. Aval b'hai de shulchan aruch, but in the shulchan aruch scenario, lo mikri shlo kesidrin, that's not called out of order. Because even now, with the partially faded letter, it is kosher. And then when you add more ink, it's a protection, a guard, to make sure it doesn't get erased further. When do we say that you can re-blacken and darken the letters? As long as some of the original black of the ink exists. But if all of the ink has broken off and jumped from the parchment, and all you're left with is a reddish stain on the parchment from the ink. You know, in an English translation, it says chaluda is mold. Usually, we say chaluda means rust. So it says mold. I guess to say, but there's no mold. There's a reddish tint to the parchment. It'll stain the parchment. I'm assuming it's chalud because of the reddish color. I mean, I was thinking, is it an oxidation issue? There is a mitzvah that it will look reddish on the parchment. There's not ink. There's no ink left. So that's what Mishmur is saying. If there's no ink, all you see is the mark that the ink had been here at one time, but the ink is gone. Kishemav kumus aleihem. You want to now take a quill and write over it. You're writing out of order because everything after that was written already, and this is shlo kesidin. Well, the figure therefore, im niklaf mi miktsas oirech avov kitzas deyoy. Let's say some of the length of the vav, the bottom of the vav, flaked off. Some of the ink flaked off the bottom of the vav. V'nisharak roishem achaluda v'samokim. So on that spot, you don't have the black of the ink, you have this reddish stain on the parchment. So now you have to show a child. If the remaining part of the vav that didn't flake off is long enough to be a vav. So you'd have to cover over the bottom part that had flaked off. The child shouldn't look at that reddish stain and include it when he looks at the vav. You have to cover that up. Very similar to what we wrote before, b'sifkat memches and sifkat memches. V'da'od, and you should know further. The das of prima gadim hu, the opinion of prima gadim is, da'filu nishar ma'moshes d'yoy, even if there's some actual ink that remains, rakshen niklaf shachros ha'elyon, but the upper layer of black is gone. V'nishar odoyim, all you have is red. Havi shalo kesidun. Again, to write over that would be shalo kesidun. The oidim and kashlat filin, the red is not kosher tefillin. So even if you tell me that there is a remnant of the ink on the parchment, it's not just a stain on the parchment, it's actually some ink, but the ink isn't black. What you see now is red or brown. It's not black. So to write over that, bishlokasidim. Aval chasam sofer, b'chelik yoradeya, simen reish nuvav, polagolov. The chasam sofer in yoradeya reish nuvav disagrees with this psak of prima godim. V'sover, and he holds, dim hashinu lad mumis humachmas yoishin, if the ink turned this brown or reddish because it was old, harihu kosher, it's fine. Shaihu nichtav bidyoi, it was written fine with the proper ink. That's the halacha, to write with ink, special diyoy. Tell us, that's how you write it. We don't worry about what's going to look later. And this is normal for most ink. As it ages, it will lose its darkness. It will get this reddish tint. And it will become what we call brown. So you should write over it with your kulmis, with your quill, to darken it. Even with the Shem Hashem, it's kemat zicher permitted. Kediyoy agabe diyoy, ink on ink, the ink on mechika, there's nothing that is being erased. So the Prima Godim said, if it changed, it's no good. And the Chum Service says, no, it's still okay. V'im nishtan ala oidim mamish, but let's say it changed really to red. She'ein kein darkon shal standi, which is not normal for ink as it ages. Afilu rakla admumis, or maybe close to red. Rak sh'nishtan miyad maher la'achak siv, but this happened right away. This wasn't old. This is pretty recent, but it was a poor batch of ink. Ain't a kana la oisa sefer Torah. We can't fix that sefer Torah. Shenir she'inu machmas yoishin. It's clearly it's not a matter of age that the ink was a good ink and it aged. So there was a problem with the actual ink that he used. Shenasis misamon machem. He used the wrong ingredients. V'alkein posel miikara kilo nechta bidyo. So it's possible because it was written with ink. Ubeshemois I. Just write over it. Get a sefer to sit there and write over the whole sefer Torah. You get to Shem Hashem. Asur l'havir l'avdala. Yeah, you can't write over that red ink with black ink. V'chulu. Ayin shem shemach b'chose milsod b'tam. If you look there, it has a whole arichus to explain it. So this is brought in the Be'er Locha before. And the pshat is, either ksav al gabi ksav is not considered ksav, and that's the psul. Or you're getting into Meshchikas Hashem. That if you wrote the Shem in red and you write on top of it with black, that might be considered Mechika. So therefore, you can't do it. Either way, it's not going to work. Se'if Chavches. Yesh Lizoher Shelo Yikones Rosh HaLamed Ba'avir Hahe O HaChes. One should be careful not to allow the head of the Lamed to go into the airspace of a hay or a ches. I feel a blow in a gear, even if they don't touch. Mr. Brewer, Sifkan Kuf Chav Tesh, Lo Yikanes. The top of the lamed should not enter in. I feel a kol shehu, even a little bit. Reish ha-lamed, of the top of the lamed. Beshur shalamala hemenu, in the line above it. V'hu adin, you could say the same problem, Bechav Pshuta, with a chav sofis, Ukadom or any similar letter like that. Shlo yikanes b'shur shalamata, those tests for ayin kadom, it shouldn't descend into the line below, into the space of a test or an ayin. Sifkan kuf lamed ba'avira hay. Don't allow the head of the lamed go into the airspace of a hay. Vuadin ba'avira aleph, the same as two, it shouldn't go in the space of an aleph. O tuf, ukadom with a letter tuf or anything like that. The kol shekain shizor shliyukhanis ba'avir dal doresh, and really be careful not to let the head of the lamed go into the space under a dal doresh, shlo yera kehe kathame, because then it'll actually start looking like a he. Sifkan kuf lamed alf o haches, or the lamed shouldn't enter into the space of a ches. V'adin im nichnas roish lamed toch avir shachap shuta. There's also a problem if the head of the lamed goes into the space of Achav Sofis, Uke the Kamei B'Sifkan, Kuf Lamed Beis, as we talk about later in Kuf Lamed Beis. Chuvas Marami Brisk, Simen Ches, Ayin Sham. V'chein Hekel B'Zahagun, V'kivei Eg Chudosh B'Dieved, V'kivei Eg was Mekel B'Dieved. Now, the way a Sofer arranges the lines that he writes on, he first does Sirtut, right? He does Sirtut to mark where he's going to begin the letters. And between each Sirtut section, there should be enough space for six thickness of the kulmus, six ovi kulmus. So the sofer will have to take the kulmus, the quill, and the width of the nib, if you will, should be such that he can put six of them one over the other, and that'll be the thickness of the lines. If he does that, you should never have a problem. Because the standard ois is three oivy kulmus. Take a base. The top is one, the bottom is one, and the line holding it together is one. That's the thickness from the top of the sirtut hanging down. It's three oivy kulmus. And that's the standard on most of the larger ois. Obviously, a yud is small. A lamed is six. It's three in the body of the chaf beneath the sirtut line, and three in the vav above the line. So if you maintain this standard of six oivik kulmus, the top of the lamed will always be, even though it enters above the sirtut, but it should always be beneath the oisius above. The chaf sofis is five oivik kulmus. So it starts at the sirtut, and then hangs down almost to the next sirtut. It should never go down into the next word. It should never go down into the aleph or the ayin or the tes. It should never be that long. It'd have to be more than six to get in. The problem is when they don't have that hiddur, so to speak. When they don't have six oive kulmus between. There's no requirement to have six oive kulmus. Let's say he was going with four. Now it's tricky. If you only have four, you're going to have to watch out where you're going to get that lamed. That has to be after a word, before a word. You have to manipulate it such that it doesn't come up in a way that's going to be problematic. And same with the chav sofis. So if you maintain the six rule, you really should be safe kaseder. It's when you don't go with the six rule that you're going to start running into these issues, that you have to be very careful where you're going to position your lamed, and you'll try to manipulate the ksav that it ends up at the end of a word above it, and so on, that doesn't get into any of the letters. Sifkatan kuf lamed beis below negia. Now this is a problem even if they don't touch. The negia, if they touch, b'lavachi posel, then anyway it's possible. Mishum ches and a kuf is gevil. If you make the lamed tall and it touches the letter above it, then you got a problem. It's not mukuf gevil. Umashma milashon shulchan aruch. From the language of shulchan aruch, it seems to say the kasef sheyesh li zoher. The language yesh li zoher. Be careful. The dafka lechatchila, the implication is that this is lechatchila de kalocha. Avaloli ikuv b'dievid. It's not mashma that if you did it b'dievid, it passels. Vahani mili, when do we say it doesn't passel? Shlo nichnas be'inin sheyipasei tsuras ois aydezer. Only if the fact that it sticks in to the above letter space doesn't ruin the appearance of the above letter. Kigon, for instance, shenichnas rak ma'at, very little bit. Because we began by saying, even a kol shehu shouldn't go into the space. Unless a kol shehu did go into the space. So b'dievid, it's okay, provided that it's very apparent what the letter on top is, and it didn't stare, didn't disturb the way it looks. Avam nichnas kol kach be'inin shenishtanis was a ois, but if it really goes up high into the ois, and you look at that, what is that ois? Shetinik tol chakim lo tipesh, you take a child who's not so smart, not so dumb. In the chasal shita tachtoina, you cover over the lamed, you cover over the bottom line. Shalei near rak roish lamed, all he's going to see is the top, the vav of the lamed sticking up. For lo guf lamed, you won't see the chaf of the lamed, you won't see the body of the lamed. And if he looks at it, lo yakir ois mahug, says, I don't know what that letter is. Have shinu tsuras ois upasul. So he's altered the appearance of the letter above. That's pasul. Vegam lo yitzuyer bo tikun, and you can't fix it. Shom shlokasidun, because they have the power shlokasidun. Vekolshkeim nichnas rosh halamed betoch halal dald oresh. And certainly, if you're going to have a situation where the top of the lamed goes into the airspace of a dalet or a resh, v'niras kehei, and now it looks like a hei, the pasul, it's no good. V'enimol b'zeh kriyas etinik again. And then even if a child looks at it and reads it right, it won't help. We see with our own eyes that it's changed and it looks like a different ois. So the question is, what if a little tiny bit of the Rosh HaLamed goes into the space of the Resh or the Dalet? So on that, the notes bring this Kshayla. What if only a little bit of the Rosh HaLamed enters into the Dalet or the Resh? So what is the halacha then? So he brings the sefer Mikdash Ma'at that a child who says that it looks like a dalet, looks like a resh, is fine, and we would accept that. Then he brings sefer Pnei Aryeh Hechai that once we machmir, even if it's just the tag of the lamed that sticks in, and any little bit, but he brings the Shevet Alevi who says that if it's just a little bit of the tag, that doesn't change the tzuras ois, it's poshut, it's kosher. Like the Mashmo says, you don't even have to ask a child at that point. And even if it goes up, it's a thin amount, we're not going to be machmir, in the dalad or resh. Only if it's a little thick, the tag is thick, or certainly if it's long, then you're going to have a problem where it really looks like a hay. So even though we talked about how high does the yud of the hay have to be, some holds very little, but lamaisa, we're not going to aser it. If it's a little tiny bit that sticks in, he shouldn't have done it, but we're not going to pass for that. But if it's a good amount of the lamed that goes into the hay, forget it. Then it's over, you pass it, and then you can't fix it because you have pasul.